right now is that we have a lot of people who want to build brands, who want to become influencers, who want to start companies, but they're not putting in the pieces that actually allow them to weather the storm. You know, the thing that I'm most proud of is the two biggest businesses I've ever built, I basically started them during very difficult times. When I first got involved in my dad's liquor store business, it was the late 90s, and just about a year and a half into my journey, I guess 2 years into my journey, the stock market crashed and all the internet companies folded, and all the people that were making money that I was targeting to sell wine stopped having money to buy wine. And then right behind that, because most of my business was New York and New Jersey based, even though we were building an internet company, it was only about a year later that 9/11 happened, and not only, you know, changed, I mean, for anybody that lived in the New York, New Jersey area, it was much more compounded for us because we lost loved ones, and I remember I lost 100 employees from one organization in one day. I had to go in hand by hand and take their emails out because everybody passed away from Cantor Fitzgerald that worked in that office. So I persevered through that because I was practical, because I didn't have a lot of overhead, and because I wasn't romantic, I wasn't dreaming. I knew that I had to buy and sell wine and liquor and beer, and I had to make sure that my expenses weren't greater than the money I was bringing in. VaynerMedia started in the ashes of the economic meltdown of the US. When I started VaynerMedia, people didn't want to pay $5,000, let alone the $50,000 or $100,000 they pay us a month now for our services. And when I started VaynerMedia, you know, it's funny, I watch everybody watch my journey now, and you know, there's that cliche thing of like overnight success, right? I'm gonna have this TV show come out this June, and it's gonna change my profile, right? I'm gonna sit on a stage with Will.i.am and Gwyneth Paltrow and Jessica Alba for this Apple show that I'm about to do, and everybody's gonna say, where'd he come from? That happened overnight, you know? And it's even really happened in social. I'm sure for a lot of you, you've only really even have known about me for the last 6 months or so, even though I've been putting out content online for 10 years every single day. And so the thing that I've been really thinking about is practicality. Like VaynerMedia, even though I had already built a nice sized business, it wasn't like I was extracting a lot of money out of Wine Library. And so when AJ and I started VaynerMedia 7 years ago, we started it out of a company called Buddy Media's conference room. For the first 2 years that I ran VaynerMedia, we had no rent. We first worked out of a conference room. We then worked out of a co-working space before the whole WeWork and co-working space revolution, and I bartered my time to help that company in exchange for a very small space. We didn't buy furniture, we scrapped. And I'd already made it, I was already rich. And we scrapped. And so the biggest thing that I want to implore everybody here today to do is to take a step back and think about how fancy are they? Are you willing to be really, really, really ghetto? Do you really need that chair? Do you really need that piece of technology? Do you really need to fly that class? Like, I just think that we're living through an incredibly fancy culture of entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship and CEO status is quite sexy. People are selling a lifestyle that is filled with lots of fun and trips and champagne and bikinis and bling bling and all sorts of horse shit, right? And I just think that era of this era is gonna come to an end somewhere within the next 5 years. And very honestly, I just don't want a lot of people in this room that dream to build their own businesses to have to go work at a bank or go work at a retail store. And so I would highly recommend something that I think is stunningly not talked about enough, which is if you're building a business, you have to be making money. And so I know that's like a funny thing to say, but I think it's important. I think the other thing that's important is to shift the context completely the other way, which is what is really winning, right? Like, what is the definition of winning? And I think we all have different definitions, right? And I think that one of the things that I also want to say is that I'm getting scared that a lot of people that are following my journey hear me talking about buying the New York Jets, and I do aspire to buy a $3 billion sports franchise. I do, it is what I want. You can look at my fifth grade yearbook long before business was cool. It's what I want to do. But I'm awfully scared that it's pressuring the people that follow me into trying to achieve things that they don't necessarily want. They just think it's the thing you do if you're trying to be a successful business person. Let me promise you something. I know tens of thousands of people, and I know thousands of people extremely well, and I know hundreds of people deeply well. There is no correlation between how much money someone makes and their level of happiness. I have friends who make $47,000 a year and are the happiest people I know. Their work-life balance is on point. They're part of two soccer teams. They play video games. They watch every show they want. They take two vacations that they scrap together, and they're freaking happy as hell. And I know tons of people who I grew up with in the Silicon Valley boom who have hundreds of millions of dollars in their bank account and are as miserable and as lonely and as broken as you'll ever see. So I implore all of you to please reverse engineer and figure out who you are and figure out what level of monetizing and stuff you need and what level of creativity you need. I promise you one thing that will catch you very off guard. I should be way more rich. I leave money on the table every day. I've left ungodly amounts of money on the table. I spend tons of times sending DMs and engaging with people, meeting people randomly and not cashing in. I actually believe the statement I'm about to make. I think that I love the journey and the game of entrepreneurship so much that I have subconsciously sabotaged my financial upside to make sure I can play this a little longer, because I fear if the numbers keep getting too big, eventually it will take the fun out of it. When you were lucky enough, like I am, to actually do something that you love so much, do something that puts pressure against the one thing you care about besides it, which is the time I spend with my family. My family is my whole life. And being this and doing this is the only thing that cuts into that. I couldn't breathe if I wasn't an entrepreneur. I didn't breathe when I wasn't an entrepreneur. That's the reason I got D's and F's in school, because I just couldn't be me. And I'm not capable of that. And so I think being here excites me, because I think coming to not LA, San Francisco, New York, London is always more fun for me. It always feels a little more practical. It always feels like there's a little bit more chips on the shoulder, which is what I have. But I want to remind everybody, just because you didn't grow up with a trust fund, just because you don't live in Silicon Valley, the market doesn't care. If you're good enough, you will win. And I hope that you don't. It's true. And if you sit around and ponder, well, if I didn't live here, or if my mom wasn't an alcoholic, or if I just learned about this earlier, or if I'd been following this person earlier, or if I wasn't born a woman, or if I wasn't born a minority, if you sit and do that, you are losing. You're not wrong. It's just that business and marketing and all this doesn't care. There's just no emotion in the market. Like, that's it. And so I think we need to start having much deeper, much more serious conversations of practicality. You know, it's fun, and I love this space the most, but I loved it long before it was sexy. I loved it long before people wanted to take selfies with me. I loved it long before athletes and celebrities and rappers wanted to be entrepreneurs. I loved it long before that. It was my destiny. It was who I was. It was how I was wired. It was the only thing I knew. That's why the 4-year-old me ripped flowers out of yards and sold it. You don't read about being an entrepreneur at 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. I didn't jump on this because it's cool now and it makes me money and girls. I did it because it's all I ever was. And I implore you, if you came here to be an entrepreneur, but this talk allows you to realize you're really an artist, or you're really a number 3 in a company because you bring this level of energy and you don't want to be a number 1, because let me promise you something about being a number 1. I'm not an entrepreneur, I'm a firefighter. My entire life is taking care of crap, putting out fires. 24/7, 365, my whole life is, this is a problem. Fix this, and guess what? When you're the last line of defense, there's no blaming your boss. There's no blaming the logo. There's no blaming the government. It's all my fault, all of it. And so, it's super sexy, but what's not being talked about is the friends and acquaintances I have who've committed suicide in the entrepreneur land the last 4 years, because nobody talks about the downside. Everybody thinks they're gonna be Zucks. Everybody thinks they're gonna build Snapchat. Go look at the data. The data shows that the far majority of this room will not succeed, not even close, to building an actual business. And I don't come here to be somber. I come here to remind you that there's only one thing you can do. The only thing you can do that can trump the moment mommy and daddy had sex to make you. The only thing that can trump that, the only thing that can trump your DNA, the only thing that is controllable, if you want it, if you want this, is work. It is. It's the only tangible, and by the way, I don't know if you guys have noticed, I've stopped even, and it's funny given the name of the conference, I've started using the word work more than the word hustle, just because I want everybody to understand what we're really talking about here. If you've got a big mouth, and a lot of you do here, search the hashtag, and a lot of you say CEO, founder, owner. I call that big mouth. If you've got the audacity to do it, and so many of you have heard this from me, when I audit you, and I do, because I'm curious, it's how I learn. People talk a big game. I especially love when somebody hits me up on social, like, Gary Vee, you're gonna buy the Jets, I'm gonna buy the Rams, you know? You know, everybody's buying a sports team. And I love to look at what that person does. And then I'll DM that person and be like, yo, bro, nobody, unless they were a trust fund baby, ever bought the Rams when they go skiing for a week when they're 24. nobody you know has become successful outside of it being given to them from their family. Nobody you know has actually created success without working their face off. It doesn't exist. So you can sit and talk about luck, and you can sit and talk about this, that, or the other thing, but I promise you, the only controllable thing you have is your work ethic. So, going back to the beginning of my talk, you need to deploy serious self-awareness and figure out who you are. I implore you to start matching your work ethic and your actions to your mouth. If you're gonna be a billionaire, you need to realize that most people that create $1 billion worth of wealth don't do anything besides work every single day of their 20s and 30s. All of them. Every person that works at VaynerMedia has taken more vacations in the last 13 months than I did in my entire 20s and early 30s. My family went on 2 family vacations my entire childhood. I was married to my wife for 5 years before we had a family. We took 2 vacations. It's the price you have to pay if you want it at the level that I want it at. And by the way, I advise nobody to want it at that level. I'm being dead serious. This is a very true statement that I think most of you will not believe, but I'm telling you it's the goddamn truth. If there was a drug that could take some ambition out, I would take it. It is so extreme. It is all in. The reason I started Daily V was to remind you that I'm outworking you. That when you talk and you're trying to figure it out, when you're trying to say you're gonna be like me, I want you to see it. I want you to see every other day, 5 a.m. I want you to see every day, midnight. All of them, every day, always, forever. That's what it takes for what I want. Good news is, between what I want and what is achievable and is considered unbelievably all-time happy is a big gap. So there's plenty of vacation time. I know tons of people with vacation time. I know tons of people with work-life balance. I know tons of people that do tons of fun activities and that make 7 figures, millions of dollars a year and love it. I'm playing for legacy. I'm playing for all time. I'm looking to impact every generation that comes behind me because I want to show that you can build all-time wealth, all-time greatness, doing it the right way and the old way. That's what I'm up to. So please make sure you understand that, and more importantly, make sure you understand yourself so that you can reverse engineer that blueprint and figure out where you fit within that and then deploy it. But I promise you, you will not get there with your big idea. I promise you, sitting around and saying, oh, I had that idea for Uber before Uber did. Nobody gives a shit. I've got every idea that's gonna be successful over the next 100 years. It's all about AI and VR and AR and augmented and all this. I'll give them to you all. It doesn't matter, because most of you won't execute against it. The reason I put out all my best stuff and I'm liked and I don't charge for it is somewhere along the line I realized that 99.9% of you aren't gonna do anything about it. You're gonna ponder it. You're gonna get super pumped up when you watch me say it. And then 3 weeks later, you're gonna give up because you're not willing to pay the price.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.